Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Friday the 19th of June, good evening. It's Ben Cunningham in for Rob Pritchard this evening on Friday Sport. Coming up this evening, we look ahead to the fourth round of the Andreas Racing Association. We speak to James McStain, who wants to give children the chance to enjoy football this summer. And are you ready for a walk? Yes, it's Parish Walk 2026. Welcome to Friday Sport. And a very good evening. And we're going to look at motorsport first off this evening. Only with 2 weeks from the conclusion of the 2026 Isle of Man TT, motorsport returns to the Isle of Man this weekend. A mix of two and freewheeling action is expected to take place in what is roughly the halfway point of the Andreas Racing Association Championship. Ahead of round four, our sports correspondent Rob Pritchard caught up with club secretary Neil Champion.
Entries this year were more than healthy, really good, and the meetings that we've had so far, I'm losing track of time. It's always now the TT's out of the way, I have to think about it, but yeah, this is actually going to be our fourth meeting. So we had March and April and May, so this is definitely the halfway point really, and all the racing's been really good, and the entries are, as I said, more than healthy.
Now, there have been some extra developments for this weekend that people may not know about. We'll come to those in just a moment. Just taking a quick look then at some of the championships and how they looked after round three, the previous round as well. So we'll start with the Open Solo Centre Championship. Currently, Rory Parker is tied at the moment with Jamie Kringle. Now, we must give a mention, of course, for Jamie Kringle, the Manx rider, who was involved in an incident during the second Supersport race of this year's Isle of Man TT races. Of course, won't be taking part this weekend as he continues his recovery. And Neil, I'm sure you'll agree, as everyone does, we wish him all the very best and a very speedy recovery.
Absolutely, yeah. He's going to be a huge hole in the paddock, and he's multiple club champion, and we send out all our love and best wishes to him, and I'm sure that the whole paddock will feel that way.
Absolutely. So yes, Jamie, wishing you all the very best. Elsewhere in the Open Solar Centre Championship, as we mentioned, Rory Parker leading the way at the moment. Rory expected to be involved this weekend?
Yes, I think so. I haven't actually gone through the entry, but I'd be very surprised if he's not there, and obviously no one wants to take advantage from somebody else being hurt, but that's just the nature of motorsport, so I'm sure Rory will be out there.
Turning to the Supersport Championship, very well contested last season, and well contested again this season as well. Carl Casement currently leading the way on 87 points, and that's clear of George Hadaway, second on 42. Grant Thompson, who of course won the class last year on the 39, but of course Grant Thompson missed the last round because he was at the Northwest 200, but he's going to be back this weekend to try and claw back some points.
Yeah, exactly right, and I think Grant will be thinking, obviously he was at the Northwest where he acquitted himself really, really well, but he's back with us this weekend, and I'm sure he'll be planning to show Kyle who the boss is.
And another standout already after three rounds so far is Francesco Ferraldo as well. Currently tops the standings in both the Super Twin and Sport Bike Championship and the Singles, Twins and Triples Championship. And from what we understand, Neil, he's got quite a busy weekend.
Yeah, so Frankie's racing in Ireland in the Ulster Superbike Championship. He's leading the Super Sport Cup, I'm told. He's doing really well there. I think he's in Ireland on Saturday and he's on the evening boat, overnight boat Saturday night, so that he can come and race with us on Sunday. So he might look a little bit bleary-eyed in first practice.
Yeah, and of course at 90 points that he's got across both those championships, we mentioned some way clear of the rest of the competition. Now, one thing I did actually want to mention, speak about as well, because there's been developments, obviously sidecars, huge headlines around them over the last couple of weeks around the Isle of Man TT race and the Southern 100. Particularly, there's been a couple of changes going into this weekend we'll start with. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we didn't have, originally we didn't have sidecars on the programme for this weekend. The sidecar crews that we've got a really good working relationship with, we, as per last year, actually, we ran a slightly shortened season, so we only ran four meetings for them, which meant they could all commit to it and get out there and we could have a decent grid. And our June meeting wasn't going to feature sidecars, but a few of them have come to us and said, actually, we would like an outing, please. And obviously, we always want to put racing on, so we got that. And on top of that, Craig Craig Melvin and Stuart Christian, who were previous, have been several times previous club champions, three times, I believe. They've retired, but in the way with motorsport retirements, they're coming back out of retirement now. Craig has been playing around with solos, but he's a sidecar man at heart. So they've got themselves a new outfit and they're going to be out there as well. So it's not a championship round. There's no points for grabs on this. So it is just for the glory, but I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun.
Pride for stake, no doubt. And if we're talking sidecars and, of course, wishing people well, of course, we continue to wish Ryan Crowe and Callum Crowe as well, the defending ARA sidecar champions, after they're off during the Alaman TT races, both currently on the mend at the moment.
Yeah, as that's my understanding as well. They are improving. Their injuries were not as serious, but they've still had lots of treatment, and hopefully we're going to see them back quite soon.
Absolutely. All the very best to Ryan and Callum Crowe if you're listening out there. So, yes, this weekend, again, we'll just remind people first off that could you just tell us a little bit about the format for those who don't know?
Yeah, of course. So we're there both days, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is just a test day, so it's for people to go out and set up their bikes, try different things, figure out working how things are working, and get used to the conditions we're getting this weekend. That is open to the public, but there's no actual racing. Sunday is race day. We'll have first bikes on track from 9:30 for qualifying and practice, and then typically the racing will start. We'll get a few races in before a short lunch break, and then racing right through the afternoon. It's only £6 to get in on the day, and under 16s are free.
Now, this summer, an island organisation is wanting to give children the chance to enjoy football on the island and do something to help out those who may be falling on more difficult times recently. Let's Play owner and one of the coaches is James McStain, and he explains why it feels now is the right time to make this gesture to the community.
So, for me personally, we really, really look forward to the summer holidays. You know, as a coach and the team and the kids, they are all looking forward to the summer football camps. They've experienced them. And for me personally, I've had lots and lots of situations where we've been trying to help parents through our weekly programmes that might be struggling a little bit. And I thought summer is such an important time for children to make memories, be active, get out there, meet new friends. And I think now is the right time for us to see what we can do within our community programmes and reach out to parents to give them an opportunity to come to the football camps and make their child have a really, really good experience within the camps without having the pressure of having to provide financial payments towards the clubs, essentially.
And what benefit do you think this move, or hope that this move will have, not just for any youngsters who will take part, but also, like say, parents and guardians as well, who might, in certain situations, just be having, you know, financial challenges of some sort or another?
Well, my message for them parents that have children that have a great interest in football, but for whatever reasons, ultimately the first reason you think that they might not be able to access the programmes is because of financial difficulties, and there's other difficulties along the line as well. Simply give us a message. My mobile number is 222-766. My phone's on all the time. We've got Let's Play on Facebook, on Instagram. Give us a message. There'll be no judgments made. We're here to help not only our members, but people in the community, whether that is someone that's interested in the clubs, but financially might be a bit of a barrier, and someone that wants to access our summer camps or term camps whenever they can.
And for the children who take part in initiatives like Let's Play as well, you know, just how beneficial can it be to just give them the chance, whether they want to continue football in the long run or just in the short term as well, give them that chance to, I suppose, in a physical sense, you know, stretch the legs a bit, be active, but also have a chance to meet others and be social around something like this.
Yeah, and that's a real good one, that, Rob, like you said, because ultimately kids are going to be going out this summer meeting their friends. And I think it takes new environments for children to be in the majority of the time to go and meet new friends. And I think part of this initiative and the programme for us, if we can get a child that's not in a position to access our summer camps by coming in and making new friends, or being it being a pathway for football or any sort of activity in that sense, where they've just had a really good experience in our camps and managed to meet new friends, for us, we would take great pride in that.
And of course, crucially as well, just to add on to that, for any children who want to take part, parents and guardians considering allowing their children to take part as well, you don't have to have any previous experience of being on the initiative before. It's a case of if you're a first timer, you're more than welcome to take part.
Absolutely, and that's open to the whole public domain. So once we advertise our summer camps in April time, we'll always make sure that parents have an understanding that actually it doesn't matter whether you're a beginner or you're someone that's pretty advanced in your football journey. We want to make it accessible for everyone. And that, like I said before, you don't have to be someone that's playing football three or four times a week. It could be your first time round.
Two more questions. So first off, in terms of just a couple of the details, for anyone who's listening out there and is maybe considering, oh yeah, maybe I might have the chance to bring my children down to one of the Let's Play sessions. Crucially, what age ranges is it for? How do people get involved? What's the criteria?
Yeah, so for us, what we're saying at the minute is that we're going to be offering these spaces for children that are in primary school from the ages of year one up into year six, and that's this year at the minute. So if you've got a child that's in either year one or up until year six, give us a shout, give us a message on Facebook, Instagram. As I said earlier, my mobile number is 222-766. Just reach out and we'll do everything that we can to help you.
You've sort of half answered my last question there. So yeah, for anyone who wants to get in touch to maybe look at booking a place, or even just at this stage, just find out more details, where can they find out more?
Yeah, as I said, the number's there, 222-766. Facebook is probably our most recognised social media platform in respect to Let's Play. Have a little look on there. They've got loads of good videos on there in terms of previous camps. It'll give you a little bit, a bit of an indication of actually what do these camps look like. Because for some parents, they'll be a little bit unknown. The children will be unknown. If you go on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook, it'll give you a good insight about how our camps run.
Station, Manx Radio. 18 minutes to 7 here on Manx Radio. All eyes this weekend will be on the big event. Yes, the 2026 Parish Walk taking place tomorrow, the 20th of June. Individuals taking part for various reasons. They can be athletic. Some could be just looking to prove their absolute goal, or raising money for charitable causes. And at the heart of the event is race director Raymond Cox, and he's been speaking to us here at Manx Radio.
Entries up slightly, so just under 1300, which is very good for us. It's a nice comfortable number for us to manage, and it means that the Parish Walk is still a very popular challenge.
Why does it stay this popular? Why are the numbers continuing to be so consistent over the years, do you think?
Well, I think first off, it's a real Manx event. And if you say it to somebody on the Isle of Man Parish Walk, that means everything. They know what it means. They know what the accomplishment is if you're actually a finisher, which of course means 85 miles within the 24-hour time limit. So to be a Parish Walk finisher is still something to be cherished. And it's a real aim for a lot of people. But of course, the bulk of the field will be merely going out to maybe achieve a personal target, Russian or Peel or Balaf or whatever. So that challenge is still out there. Walking is a very simple event. One foot in front of the other, literally. It doesn't require expensive equipment, although a good pair of shoes and comfortable clothing is what we'd recommend. But anybody can do it. So, of course, from that point of view, the challenge is very simple. And the other thing, of course, will be that people do it for a lot of other reasons. Invariably to raise money for a charity. Perhaps they've got a personal link to something. And by signing up to the parish and saying, I'm going to do it for this charity or that charity. Of course, it's a real goal for them, and it means that they get out training, they have something to aim for, and of course, when they come out, then they're achieving something more than just for themselves.
And just to go back on one thing you said there, is it's for everyone, whatever your objectives are. It's not just those who finish in the top three come the end of it as well. It's however far people want to go, however far they want to push themselves. The fact that we have an event that is so well attended but also so accessible to a lot of people as well, how much is that, the accessibility, at the heart of the Parish Walk?
Oh, I think very much so. As I said, everybody can do it. And people like to be part of an event with a lot of other people. And down at the finish, or the start, I should say, down at the NSC on Saturday morning, it's going to be very, very bright, colourful. There's an air of excitement, and people really enjoy that atmosphere.
And coming back to another thing as well, as you've quite rightly pointed out, there's a lot of people who do it for the likes of charitable causes as well, and obviously loads of people get behind others as well. Some raise hundreds, if not thousands of pounds for their respective causes as well. So it's not just for the walkers, it's for plenty of other people and organisations that an event like this, they can benefit as well.
Yeah, I think the local charities recognise that this is a really good platform for them to get folk out there to raise money on for their cause. We reckon that between £500,000 and £600,000 annually is raised for charity. And that's a conservative estimate. And that's phenomenal for an island of this size. But of course, it just demonstrates that the Manx people are a generous nation.
And of course, on the day itself, obviously so much is around the walkers, but you look about as well at how the island comes out as well, and the fact that obviously people are supporting from whether it's their front gardens or the side of the road, and there are other events that happen around the island on Parish Walk Day when it passes through as well. People setting up their own feed stations. Of course, the event has its own ones, but other people get involved in a way that isn't part of the walking as well. Does that feed in nicely to the community aspect of it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's great to see people bringing out bands, barbecues. And of course, we have the famous barbecue up in Mackled, which is my dinner on a Saturday evening. So courtesy to the Mackled Social Club. So it's wonderful to see people coming out supporting the event. And even back in 1994, the year I came to the parish walk, I was amazed to discover people sitting at the end of their gardens, 2 a.m. in the morning, cheering you on. I said, what a phenomenal event this is.
On the course itself, of course, people will see 85 miles. Of course, people do all or part of it, but there are some very, I suppose, famous or infamous sections of the course as well. So what are the standout bits that people will take on in your mind?
Well, of course, everybody fears the slough, that uphill section after Russian Church, dragging up to the Round Table. It is very challenging. And on a warm day, it's going to be difficult, but invariably there's a good breeze and usually quite a number of degrees cooler going up the slough. So the slough is a tough one. But I can tell you where people actually suffer more is dropping down from the Round Table. The drop down from the Round Table to Dalby, going downhill, the backs of your legs get stretched. Ooh, it can be quite sore. So that's a tricky one. But I would say the toughest part of the course mentally for competitors is to stretch between Jerby and Bride. So you've gone into the night frequently, the light's fading, they're on very narrow country roads, very tall hedges on either side, and the disorientation sets in. So in other words, where am I? How close am I to Bride? Is it around the next corner? Well, invariably it isn't. So that's tough. And I can see people who have walked very successfully up to that point sort of crumble. And then that's it. The Bride is the finish.
Those are some of the challenges. But of course, there are plenty of people each year that do go on to complete the challenge within the 24-hour limit. And I've seen you down there at the finish line on plenty of occasions. How much can you see it in the expressions of people when they come across the line as well, when they realise just what they've achieved, whether it has been to try and hit a personal best competitively or doing it for a charitable cause, what it means to them to cross that line on Douglas Promenade?
Yeah, you see the full range of emotions down at the finish line. And I have lots of volunteers who volunteer to man the finish all night, stay up all night, because they don't want to miss a single finisher. And the delight and the sense of achievement that those people feel, their family, friends, everybody cheering, it's really remarkable. But it is something to finish the parish walk. You have done something very creditable when you do the parish walk.
And of course, there will be some of the Isle of Man's top endurance walkers taking part as well. David Griffiths brings us this report.
We'll start with the men's race. Callum Gorm, the winner last year and a four-time finisher of this particular event as well. He has entered this year, but he and along with plenty of other strong names this year again.
Yes, I think Callum, probably to my mind, does go into the race as the favourite this year, 2025 winner. He was also second, joint second, I think, in 2024, which was when he actually did his fastest time, 15 hours, 45 minutes. Having said that, I don't think he'll necessarily have it all his own way. And I think possibly his closest rival might be his namesake, but not a relation, Simon Gaughan. Simon has got three finishes in the Parish Walk. His best finish was third in 2023. And interestingly, his fastest time of 15 hours 48 is only 3 minutes outside Callum's best time. Simon had a problem in last year's Parish where he had to retire through illness in the first 10 miles. He's got over that really well. But another really interesting entrant that we have this year is someone who, I didn't actually know this gentleman, but he's a French visitor by the name of Vincent de Bontan. In 2024, Vincent walked 100 kilometres in 10 hours 15 minutes. What I would say is that I would imagine that that 100 kilometre race was probably done on flat terrain. The Parish Walk, as we all know, is anything but flat. So how he deals with going up Ballacolawi and going up the Slock and all the other hills that we have on the course will be a really key element, I think. I think the other contenders, we've got the two guys who jointly won the recent Firefighters Walk over 50 kilometres, Chris Addy and Stu Osborne. One non-starter, which is really unfortunate, is twice former winner Paul Atherton, who I believe just had a spell of illness at around about April, May time, which basically meant that his training was too late to be competitive this year, so he unfortunately is a withdrawal. Even apart from those, there are several others who have got form over the last few years. Noel Ash, there's the likes of Morgan Armstrong-Peyton, Ross Deakin, Ryan Downey, Michael Farnworth, Dan Gibson, Connor Gilbert, Callum Robb. So there's a lot of people who are going to be really competitive.
Turning to the women's race now, two names stand out straight away. Last year's winner, Samantha Bowden, who's a 10-time finisher, and then Lorna Gleave, who of course before last year in 23 and 24 went back-to-back winning the women's race there. I mean, those are two standout names, Dave. I mean, do you think anyone, on paper at least, can match the pace of those two?
I don't think so. So no disrespect at all to some really excellent competitors that we've got in the women's race. I think Lorna and Sammy are the two outstanding competitors, and in fact between them they have won every one of the last five parishes. I'm going to be on the fence on this one. I really can't choose between them. I'll be fascinated to see how that one goes. And then I think also we've got some really consistent walkers who year in year out so strong over the parish. We've got Jane Farquhar, who's finished 8 times. Louise Jimson, she's got 6 finishes, fourth woman in 2025. Amy Sykes, 5 finishes. And then probably another one I would pick out is Sophie Watterson-Jones, who's always really strong. She's a good endurance athlete, and she's got a best time of 18 hours 16, which she did in 2023. She's got 3 finishes as well. She's been training well. So I think those are probably the 6. But one thing you can be certain of in the parish is that there will be people who will come from nowhere on the day, dark horses who nobody sort of really picked out in advance, and they'll surprise us all. So that they'll undoubtedly be people in those categories in both the men's and the women's races.
Yeah, that's one of the joys of the Parish Walk. And finally, just a quick mention, of course, for the under 21 race. For those who don't know, this doesn't cover the full course. It goes from the start line over the NSC, and the under 21 races finish in Peel. Last year's winner in the men's race was Robert Farnworth, and then we had joint winners in the under 21 ladies race last year in Lottie Stennett and Madison McMullen. So Dave, what's the under 21 field looking like this year?
Yeah, well, I think Robert Farnworth is entered again this year. When he first did this race, he was very much at the lower end of the age group. Yes, as you say, he won the race in 2025, and he was also second in 2024. So he's got proven form there. Best time of 6 hours 20. So assuming that his training has gone well and he's prepared well, I think he's certainly the standout in the men's race. In the women's race, it's interesting because I think the 3 standout competitors are athletes who are pretty much the same age. They've grown up together as athletes, lifelong friends, and I think they're the 3 outstanding challengers. Like you say, Lottie Stennett and Maddie McMullen were the joint winners in 2025. And the previous year in 2024, Catherine Perry was the winner in a significantly faster time than Lottie and Maddie did last year. Catherine, very well known in local sports, initially as an athlete, but more recently as an Isle of Man cricketer who's competed internationally with the Isle of Man team. All 3 of them are at university in Leeds, so all very fit, all very sporty. So I think it will certainly be between those 3. I think possibly Catherine, if her preparation has been good, might be the favourite, but it's a hard one to call.
And that just about concludes everything here on Friday Sport Preview. Chris Kinley is standing by with Greatest Hits next, jumping in with Howard and Chris, and then Rhiann Evans with After Hours. But we had to leave you with Parish Walk theme song this evening. Yes, Proclaimers, 500 miles. Good luck.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm going to be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And
my heaver. Yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heavering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
But I'm working, yes I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing older than you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out,
when I go out,
well I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home,
when I come home,
yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.